This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
All right, quick break. Jay Williams on the other side. We'll get his own college basketball.
Who was that?
Jay Williams. It's not an easy name to say.
The name was almost stuck in your throat.
I'm on 3 hours sleep. All right? There's going to be a lot of missteps for me today. So get used to it.
This is DCR.
I'm sure it'll be turned around in 90 seconds, though. I'm sure when we come back, it'll be ready to go. Jay Williams on the other side.
On 98.7 ESPN.
I knew that would make an appearance before long. Well, yeah, let's giggle our way through the 6 o'clock hour now. You like that, huh?
Can I get that one more time, Santy? Just one more time.
Oh, God.
Just give it to me one more time.
Go ahead. Play it.
Just let me hear one more time.
Play it. He can't. See, he won't. He won't do that to me. Or he
I understand.
Asleep.
Like him and Canty have some kind of side deal because Canty's in
studio. All right, quick break. Jay Williams on the other side. It is good.
It's actually better. The more you hear it, the better it gets.
It really is good. It doesn't get old. But here's my issue, though. Fine. I make a mistake. Bring it back. We laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Rick makes a mistake. Bring it back. We laugh. Why, when Chris makes a mistake, does it go missing and it never makes another appearance on the show? Therein lies my legitimate question.
It doesn't go missing.
I made
a mistake last week. We replayed it on that same show.
So I don't
remember
that. It's
not like it went away. No, we did. It absolutely happened. There's no way that you're going to sit here on the mic on the airwaves and say that, yeah, when Chris makes a mistake, when he messes up, that we don't bring it back up on the show.
Like, Santy, where is Chris's mistake? Play it for me.
Mm-hmm. Now you're putting a guy on the spot.
Well, that's
see,
right.
That's unfair. That's you being a bad guy right now, Dave Rothenberg.
I don't think it exists.
No, it does exist. Dave, we have a rejoin. Dave, we have a rejoin when I can't get out Alex Rodriguez's name. I can't say
that
it.
Happened
I tried
5 years
or four
ago.
Times. And we still play the damn rejoin, don't we? We still play it.
But wait, can I get something recent?
Last year, you had to buy out Alex Rodriguez. Exactly. Exactly. So don't start that. Santy's not playing favorites.
I don't know. The man with the ESPN tweets in Dave's drop of Jay Williams, hilarious. But where is CC's drop from the other day? Where is it? It doesn't exist.
Well, he's finding it right now. It does exist. We still have it. And I'm sure we're going to play it before the end of this show.
Good.
Just to make you and Rick DiPietro feel better.
Play them all.
It's ridiculous.
Can I say, though, that the best part of that whole Canty clip is at the end when he just quits on it?
Yeah.
It's my favorite part of the whole clip.
Last year, you had to buy out Alex Rodriguez. You got to know when the ride is over, Rico. You got to know. You got to know when it's over. It was just not going to come out, man. It wasn't going to happen. Not with that take.
If we were to do what all the other shows do and start pirating segments, if we pirated Drop Madness, that would have a real chance.
That would have a chance to go all the way?
That clip would have a real chance.
Would it be a number one seed, or would it be like one of those 4 or 5 seeds that you got to be on the lookout for?
Ooh. I have to.
That would be the question.
You almost have to put that behind the Lorenzo Carter, just because that's.
No, but Lorenzo Carter, as fun as it is and as much as we replay it,
I was set up.
It's not really his fault.
Yeah, I was set up.
He did what he was told to do.
Yeah.
The delivery of it, the actual, here's the thing, though. It's the little nuances of the drops. The fact that
Lorenzo
Carter,
right here. Linebacker, Clemson.
Right there. That's the beauty of that whole drop, is when he stops because he knows it's wrong, but he just continues with it.
That's right.
If I ever see that guy again, it's a fight on site. Like, I'm swinging on him on site. If I ever see him again. Nobody's seen him since that day when that happened.
Again.
Nobody's seen him again.
He was a plant. He was a plant. I actually think Doug Peterson planted him.
It was Doug Peterson.
Yes. It was Doug Peterson. Nate Sudfeld was at the bottom.
Where's
Wilson
Adebo?
Speaking of Doug Peterson, did you listen to any of his interview about the whole drafting Jalen Hurts and everything else?
No.
What did he say?
No, it was not. I was having a hard time believing what was coming out of his mouth.
Really? You think he's a liar?
Well, yeah. They asked him, like, was that part of the reason why Carson Wentz and your relationship, or just, I mean, how did Carson Wentz feel? And he's like, well, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but, you know, me as a former quarterback, I wouldn't like it if you drafted a quarterback that high in the draft. So it's like, then why did you do it? You were a former quarterback. You knew how it was going to sit with Carson Wentz.
Well, maybe that was him saying that he didn't do it. Maybe that's him saying that that was on Howie Roseman.
No. But see, here's where it gets twisted, is that he actually says in the interview that he's the one that watched, like, that spring he had put a lot of time into watching Jalen Hurts.
Mm-hmm.
So it was almost like he was the one that was pushing to draft Jalen Hurts.
Okay.
Because he believes in there needs to be competition in all – depth and competition.
Ridiculous. All right, time now for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. I have a feeling, by the way, that there will be more today from me. The J will not be the only one. You will get more. So stay tuned for the entirety of the show. All right, quick break. Jay Williams on the other side. Did you worry at all that I might have been having some kind of an episode?
No, I figured you didn't get much sleep. With all this college basketball going on, I figured you were going to come in. You're going to be limping into the show today. This was not a fully, like, this wasn't a recharge weekend for you.
Oh, no. I was actually almost in tears on Saturday. I was like, I can't stay up anymore. I wish the games would just end. Like, it was painful. It felt like an obligation.
But you just couldn't shut the TV off, though. You couldn't turn it off.
I watched Oklahoma State, Oregon State until the bitter end of the game. I mean, hours ago at this point now.
You're a champion. You're better than me.
Yeah, you're a lot better than me. I can't watch the tournament like that. Like, it's always on. But, I mean, there's some naps in there. There's going to the kitchen and get some food. Like, there's – like, I'm breaking it up a little bit. It sounds like you're dialed in the entire time.
Dialed in. I'm – well, first of all, I have a lunatic I'm watching the games with. You've never seen anything like Alex. And he's a North Carolina fan, so he's crazy when it comes to Carolina. So he's watching the games, and he you don't understand. He is exactly like me. He's like making fun of the other players' appearances. He's so from the other room, Sherry's like, Alex, it's enough. Stop it. You're gonna work yourself crazy here. You gotta calm down. And his response, and I'm being good. I'm not saying anything. I'm not taunting him. Mm-hmm. I'm not going even with the Georgetown game, I was pretty relaxed. And he says, throws me totally under the bus. He goes, well, Dad's allowed to do this kind of stuff. Why can't I?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was about to say, Dave. I mean, you're saying that it's unlike anything you've ever seen, and yet this is how you watch games all the time. So with Alex, this is just learned behavior. He's just doing what you taught him.
Yeah, but people with a problem don't realize they have a problem until, I mean, this is like Dave actually getting a glimpse into what Dave
fair point
is.
Fair point, yeah.
Otherwise, he has no idea. He just acts
it's
like
crazy.
Dave.
He's crazy.
He must have been torn apart that North Carolina got destroyed.
Oh, they
by
got
Wisconsin.
Hammered, and then he picked Illinois to win the whole thing.
Oh,
so yesterday he's having a meltdown. I mean, you should hear the things he says. Krutwig,
I'm raising me.
Yeah, he's making fun of the guy's appearance. I was like, Alex, stop it. You sound horrendous. And Cher, like, and it's such the pat thing. She's like, I swear to God, if you keep it up, you're going to bed. And I was like, Cher, it's 1:15. You can't send the kid to bed now. He hasn't had lunch.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, no, it is quite the scene here. Wall-to-wall college basketball. All right, guys, we find that on Saturday, the Giants add a big play, big-time wide receiver. Very exciting, Chris. Kenny Golladay, welcome aboard.
Yeah, I mean, the Giants had to make this move, Dave. Like, from the moment we found out that the Lions weren't going to franchise Kenny Golladay, like, we were saying that the Giants have got to have him in for a visit. He's got to visit the tri-state area, and they've got to try to make a run at him. Now, do you love the fact that they had to end up paying him $18 million a year on a four-year contract? No, it's probably a little bit on the higher end. But, I mean, they went ahead and went the extra mile just because they recognize how important Kenny Golladay is going to be in order for them to try to determine whether or not Daniel Jones is their franchise quarterback moving forward.
Yeah, I think we all realize. I mean, is it a lot of money? Yeah, it's a lot of money. But you can't sit here and talk about how important it is to get Daniel Jones a legitimate wide receiver, a number one wide receiver, and then be mad that it costs you a lot of money. I mean, Kenny Golladay was the guy that you wanted. Kenny Golladay, from everything we heard, wanted to be a New York Giant. They met with him. It went great. I mean, the whole hip injury, I guess that checked out.
Yep.
How it needed to check out. And as far as him buying into the culture that Joe Judge is trying to build here, they feel comfortable. So, yeah, it's a lot of money. But, again, I mean, this is an investment in your young quarterback.
Yes.
That's the most important position in sports, right?
Yep.
And you get a chance to actually – I mean, how many times have we gone back and forth over the last couple of years and me joking around because it drives you crazy, but saying, you know, the Giants have morphed themselves into the Jets.
Ugh.
So the last thing you want to do is put yourself in the same position that the Jets are in right now. Whereas you got, you know, quarterback – going into his fourth year, and you still have no idea whether or not he can play.
Yeah.
Now there's no more excuses. In all honesty, you get Nate Solder back, which
going
could help.
His third year, by the way. But yes, I mean,
no, I'm saying you don't want to be. I know he's going.
You don't want to be where Sam Darnold was last year.
You don't want to be a year down the line. Yeah,
yeah,
100%. You don't. And so you love that signing. And you know what I like also, because everybody wanted him, had to have him. You got to pull the trigger and get this done. And the Giants wanted him, but they wanted to make sure it was the right move. They wanted to make sure he was the right fit. So they waited. And they waited till they had a full meeting with him. They didn't just throw some, you know, egregious amount of money at him. They waited all the way. They discussed money. They checked out his hip. They wanted to make sure he was going to fit into the system that they're running here in New York. And I guess all checked out. And the same thing's going to happen with Jackson and out of Tennessee. And hopefully that's going to work out as well. And then all of a sudden you look at the Giants as a much improved team this free agency period.
Well, here's the thing, Dave. The Giants did throw a huge bag of money at Kenny Golladay. I mean, as far as practical guarantees go, it's $40 million.
Which is a ton.
It's a ton of money for a receiver. But, I mean, listen, this is what you had to do in order to land the plane. I mean, you typically don't see deals like this on a sixth day of free agency. But, I mean, it shows you the kind of urgency the Giants have about being able to surround Daniel Jones with the talent that he needs in order to be a productive player. Now, the thing that I do love about this deal is the way that they structured the contract to leave some room under the salary cap form this year so they can go out and potentially sign an Adoree Jackson who's visiting with the Giants. So, I mean, hopefully they'll be able to pull off that one too. But if you're coming out of free agency with re-signing Leonard Williams, signing Kenny Golladay, and getting a number two cornerback in Jackson, I think everybody feels good about what the Giants are doing moving forward. And I think it sets them up to have a lot of flexibility on what they're going to do on draft day.
Totally agree. Because you could go anywhere, really. You could go edge rusher. You go another receiver.
Yep.
You could. I mean, I think people have warmed up to that. I don't think he'll be there. Pitts out of Florida. You go with an offensive lineman. You can take a corner. I don't think there's anything that you could do within reason if you're a Giants fan that the Giants could do on draft day and say, oh, God, I hate that move, right? Or that position selection.
And yeah, unless Gettleman falls in love with another running back.
Come on, man. Really?
I'm you just still saying, doing you that?
Why are you
position?
Still doing it? Like, bruh, come on, man. It's 4 years
he's
later.
Stop it.
He
probably shouldn't, honestly. It was such a ridiculous draft pick.
No, but here's the other thing, though, too, which is, again, and, you know, you hope, I guess, and we'll see what happens. But, I mean, you saw last year the effect of having a legitimate number one wide receiver, what it does for a young quarterback. You saw it with Josh Allen in Buffalo, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you saw it, I mean, Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins. Now, was Kenny Golladay, Steph Diggs, or DeAndre Hopkins?
No.
Probably not. But by having a legitimate number one wide receiver, and Canty says this all the time, is that because you have someone now that the defenses have to scheme against, you can start dictating fronts and coverages. But so what that means is now all of a sudden, you know, Saquon Barkley is going to be better.
Yep.
And now, you know, you slot in Sterling Shepard. As, you know, he may probably a number three. Slayton is a number two.
Yep. Ingram is more attractive when he's not the number one option on your
offense.
Exactly
right. Take the pressure off him. He doesn't have to be the focal point of the offense. Daniel Jones is going to naturally be better with all these weapons. I mean, you look at their skill positions, man. Their skill position group is...
Yes.
I mean, you show me. I mean, outside of Evan Ingram not being able to catch a football, I mean, there's talent all over the place.
Absolutely there is.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Before we get to the Giants calls, Rick, Sheldon Rankins, that's a nice signing for the Jets. If he's healthy, he's a good player.
Yeah, that's the if. I mean, if he's healthy, he's a good player. But again, I mean, that remains to be seen. But listen, you see what Joe Douglas is trying to do here in free agency this year.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the deals he's making are deals based on upside. Like he's counting on the fact that Sheldon Rankins will find a way to stay healthy. And when he's healthy, and that's a really good signing. He's a really productive player. And then you got, I mean, the Corey Davis and the Lawson signings are, you know, guys that he feels like are ready to take that next step.
And still very young guys.
Exactly right. I mean, both teams are doing a good job in free agency so far.
Feels like it. All right, let's go to some of the calls. Let's go to Lonnie in the Bronx. Good morning, Lonnie. You're on 98.7.
It's not the Bronx, Dave. It's Harlem. But good morning, family. How are
here we go. My screen says the Bronx. I read what the screen said.
Well, you should know where I'm from by now, Cousin Dave. Come on, cut it out.
I'm so sorry.
Cousin Dave and Brother CeCe, sorry about the losses over the weekend. I was definitely rooting for both your teams. And clearly, Alex will be smashing things through the blinds and out the window pretty soon from that story.
I hope not. Now, I feel bad. Now, I've created a monster is what's happened here.
It seems that way. Now, Dave, you got to start paying attention, because that Wendy's question on Friday was a layup. And I mean, I'm assuming you guys know who the man on ESPN is on Twitter, right?
Yeah, it's you.
Okay, good. There we go, Rico. But today I called in, you know, just to see what you guys think about the Giants' offense and what do you guys feel like they can do to improve the O-line, and what pieces can they add on the defense besides the Dory Jackson possibly. And it seems like Gettleman loosened up those black air forces a little bit, huh, CeCe?
Just a little bit. I mean, the moves that he's made in free agency the last couple of years, I mean, there's a little more trust there in terms of, you know, him being able to create a roster that allows Joe Judge to have the kind of identity that he wants for his team. But, I mean, there's still some work to be done. I mean, the areas that I would look to improve, edge rusher, obviously. The interior of your offensive line, like, you got to figure out what you got going on with your guard center, guard trio. And then I would look to add a couple of pieces on the back end, even beyond Adoree Jackson. Those would be the areas that I would target with the second wave of free agency and the NFL draft at the end of April.
I feel good about where they are, though, to be honest. I mean, remember, Xavier McKinney barely played last year. He looks like he's going to be a nice player.
Yep.
I mean, you got Lemieux, who you know, showed signs, and Pert. I mean, there are pieces to be excited about with this club right now.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest hole for you last year, I mean, the defense was way better than I think anyone expected.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, your offense was horrendous. I mean, you averaged, you know, less than 18 points a game. You
have
the second worst offense in the NFL.
And you're right. But think about what you bring to the table that you didn't have last year. You didn't have Barkley. So you bring a game-breaking running back into the mix, and you bring a game-breaking receiver into the mix as well. Those are big upgrades.
No, but that's to the point. And you also signed Kyle Rudolph. I mean, one of the things that you struggled with, too, was, I mean, how your team did in the red zone. I mean, Kenny Galladay, 6'4".
Yeah, he's a big dude.
Yeah, can make contested catches. Kyle Rudolph in the red zone is a real threat. So you addressed all the areas that you needed to address. If you get a Dory Jackson, I think it's a sensational offseason. And now you have the flexibility in the draft to you know, not be forced to make a decision that you'd rather not make. Like, if all of a sudden you don't sign Kenny Golladay and you don't get the receiver that you need, now maybe you're forcing yourself at 11 to go, well, we got
to
go wide receiver.
You have to go receiver.
Which, again, you never know how that's going to turn out. Not everyone has the kind of impact that Justin Jefferson has in his first year.
Nope.
So if you could have the luxury of all of a sudden, you know, Jalen Waddle falls to you at 11, and you love him, and now he doesn't have to deal with the added pressure of, okay, all of a sudden he's got to come in, step in, and be the best receiver on the team.
That's right. You're right. Let's go to Troy in Queens. Troy, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, guys. Since we got Galladay, if Waddle or Pitts or Penei Sewell is there, do we still pass up on him to take an edge rusher, even though we need one real, real bad?
Well, I mean, you could take the best player available. I mean, however Dave Gettleman has him graded, if Waddle is the highest graded player that's still left on the board, then that's the direction that you're going to go. I mean, the great part about where the Giants are at right now is they don't have any glaring needs. Like, they can go into the season and have a fairly competitive roster. You know what I mean? So I just feel like, based on what Dave Gettleman has done and how he set this thing up, they're not pressed at 11 to go in one specific direction.
Could you imagine, Dave? Yes. Honestly, from Troy's lips for you to God's ears, if all of a sudden you're sitting at 11 and you got the opportunity to take Waddle, Sewell, or Kyle Pitts at 11?
There's no way all three of those guys will be available.
No,
another guy that interests me, too, is the kid out of Northwestern, Slater.
Yep. Slater,
is going to be a big-time offensive lineman. So it is nice to be sitting here and to know that you're not pigeonholed into, oh, my God, we don't have any receivers. Like you said, Rick, you have to take the receiver, or you have to take this. Like I said, you could take an offensive lineman. You could take a receiver. You could take a tight end. You could take an edge rusher. You could take a corner. I mean, there's a lot of areas the Giants can move forward with in the draft.
I think in a perfect world, though, you'd want, I mean, for it to line up perfectly and have, like, the kind of, you know, all the questions answered type of deal as far as what you needed, if by some chance when we get to 11, the best player available on your board is an edge pass rusher.
Yes.
That'd be great. But my point is you don't need to force it now, which is nice.
Oh, but that's the whole point. I mean, that's why you have free agency before the draft, is to put yourself in a position to answer a bunch of the questions so you can take the best player available wherever you're at. You know what I'm saying? Like, then now this gives the opportunity. This gives them the opportunity to have flexibility. We're not forced to do, you know, whatever. Like, we're not forced to take a wide receiver at 11.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. You couldn't, and you'd be happy. But you don't have to. You could take an edge rusher and you'd be happy. And that's why I think the Giants have flexibility, which is a big word going into the draft this year.
Yeah, but I think the most important thing, though, with the Kenny Golladay signing is that the Giants got that receiver for Daniel Jones, and now there are no more excuses as to why he can't be a productive player. Like, there's no reason for him not to go out and have a big-time season. There's no reason for this offense to be 31st just in front of the Jets. Like, this has to be a year where Daniel Jones takes a quantum leap with everything that they've invested around him. What's the excuse, Dave?
There isn't one.
The only one that I could think of, and I hate to use it, is that the offensive line could not be good. But as far as skill positions, I mean, look at what they have.
Yeah, but you're going to have a regular offseason. I mean, you got to imagine Andrew Thomas is going to be better.
And you're going to have Nate Solder back. So he's going to be a swing tackle if he ends up being a guy that can't crack the starting lineup. I mean, you're right, Dave. The offensive line is still a question mark, but that offensive line, when Daniel Jones was fully healthy, played a lot better, especially in the run game.
And if the offensive line is average, I'm not saying you have to be great. If the offensive line is average, the answer to your question is there are no more excuses. There are no more, which is what you want. You want to know, is Daniel Jones the answer or is he not? And you should find that out this season. So you'll either go into the offseason next year, a year from now, saying, boy, we have a quarterback, we have offensive weapons, we are a good football team, or you'll be saying, we need a quarterback.
Yeah, but
who do we make a play for?
But the great thing about what they've done, Dave, even if Daniel Jones turns out not to be the guy, you've got all the pieces in place to be able to support a young quarterback because of everything that you've done the last couple of years. So, I mean, it just, you know, the moves that Dave Gettleman has made the last couple of off seasons, like, it's been building to give Daniel Jones the opportunity. And let's face it, like, Daniel Jones is Dave Gettleman's legacy as GM of the Giants. But if this doesn't work out, I mean, you're still in pretty good shape in terms of having the pieces in place to be able to support a young quarterback. Now, the hope is for all the Giants fans out there that Daniel Jones has a huge year, and you're talking about this time next year exercising his fifth-year option and potentially doing a contract extension. That would be the hope. But, I mean, we'll have to see what happens. But in terms of the pieces being in place, Daniel Jones can't ask for it to be set up any better. He can't.
Yeah, and on top of the fact that you have, I mean, Devontae Booker, too.
Come on, man. Why,
stop it.
You got to be that guy.
Yeah, because really,
that's
all I have.
You got to be that guy.
That's all I really have.
He's terrible!
I don't know that I can physically endure another 5-win season. For
like that kind of party?
Where would you put them in the East right now? With the moves that you made, where would you put them in the NFC East?
I got to be honest. And I'm not, like, overly optimistic, typically, with the Giants. I think they're right there.
Vegas has them as dead last, Dave.
I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I saw
like
Grouse.
That kind of party.
Yeah, Vegas has the Cowboys as the favorite, and then the Eagles and the Washington football team tied, and then the Giants last.
Considerably, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't understand how the Eagles are ahead of the Giants, to be honest.
I don't get it either.
Unless I'm completely missing something or Jalen Hurts is gonna be that good.
I don't understand that either.
You guys saw the reports about DeSean Jackson, right?
With what he said?
Well, no, that the owner of the Eagles, it's being reported the owners and the Eagles would give up anything to get Deshaun Watson.
Oh, Deshaun Watson. Okay. Well, that would be very important.
That would change things. I mean, that would absolutely change things.
But right now we're not there. So
yeah, but how could you? If you're Vegas, though, you love Vegas, Dave. You're a degenerate. I mean, Vegas usually. I mean, here's what I don't understand.
Why can't I be someone that takes what Vegas is saying and bake it into my opinion without being a degenerate?
Well, because we've already established that you were a degenerate.
Yeah, it's your history,
and
Dave.
And that's fair. Yeah. But I think any smart host now, with the way that sports gambling is so entrenched in our normal everyday, you have to bring it into your analysis of sports.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I think you're right. But I don't know how Vegas could have. I mean, we saw what the Eagles look like. Jalen Hurts played 4 games. How do we have the Eagles right there with?
With the team that won the division last year.
They won the division.
Yeah, I have no idea. I don't. I'll stand by it. You know what? I got to be honest. If you're a gambler, why you place a little money on the Giants now? I think they're right there, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, Dave, in terms of how this team was playing when Daniel Jones was healthy, there was a lot to feel good about. But, I mean, I don't know, man. Daniel Jones is still a huge question mark. Like, a lot of the things that we saw as deficiencies last year, we were willing to excuse away because of the injuries and the way things broke. But, I mean, we still don't know whether or not Daniel Jones could play the position in the NFL.
But
still
we don't have that answer with Jalen Hurts. And do you really believe in Ryan Fitzpatrick? I mean, the only quarterback that I will sit here and tell you yes is definitively better than Daniel Jones, and it's not even close at this moment, is Dak Prescott. The other guys, I don't believe in them.
No, that's a fair point. I think that Ryan Fitzpatrick, based on how he played down in Miami, you'd probably say he's playing the best football of his career. And so maybe you give him the slight edge over Daniel Jones, considering they have an elite defense. But, yeah, the Eagles one, I'm miffed on. I can't find an explanation that makes sense as to why they would be favored over the Giants in this division.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
You know, you made fun of me, Rick, for my Illinois pick. Where did you have Illinois going to?
I told you, the Final Four.
All right, so it's not exactly like you had them going out in the second round.
No, I know. Listen, we had a conversation, though, and you said, I remember it like it was yesterday. You said, I have a feeling that Gonzaga is going to win, but everyone's going to take Gonzaga, so I'm going to do something different.
That's right, and I stand by that. I just went with the wrong team. I should have taken Baylor. Watching Baylor this weekend, that was the team I should have gone with. But I stand by, because if you took Gonzaga, you now have to have a brilliant first couple of rounds to win your pool.
Well, I'm not going to win.
Yeah, you can't win now.
No.
Too many people ahead of you took Gonzaga.
Yeah, well, at one point we had someone in our bracket challenge that had every single, I mean, what, every 16 for 16?
16 for 16. Took Oral Roberts to win that game.
Wow.
Which is crazy. Well, how many brackets did he put into the challenge?
I think one.
So on his only bracket, he had that upset.
Yes. And by the way, guess who he had winning the whole thing?
Illinois.
So he's now done.
Did you know? I didn't even realize this until I just saw it on TV. Did you realize that Oral Roberts is only the second 15 seed ever to be in the Sweet 16?
Yeah. Is Florida Gulf Coast the first?
It didn't. I don't have that information.
Yeah.
I lean on you for that.
I think when they beat Georgetown. Yes. Dunk. Remember that Dunk City team? I think they are the only other one to get there. Oh. Aminu Muhammad, baby.
You're not privy to that information, Rico.
I am not privy. It was not on the.
I believe
that's,
on the TV. That's the answer. Is Dunk City?
Oh man,
how do you guys feel about this tank top? I might go all tank tops. Yeah, I was gonna go spaghetti tank, but I decided to keep it respect. This is like my professional tank top.
I mean, I think it's basically you're telling us I don't care. Like I'm so comfortable with you guys that I will wear whatever it is that I pull out of the drawer first.
I think I might just go with it, though, is what I'm saying. I'm testing it out.
This could be your everyday look. Summer. Aren't you chilly, though?
No, it's nice up here. In all honesty, I forgot my sweatshirt. I can't go back in the room to get it because the baby's sleeping. But I just figured that I'm going to dust this off for today. I may go with this all summer. You may see this.
Could you imagine? By the way, that College Hoops update was brought to you by Tipico Sportsbook. Let's make this interesting. Could you imagine if I were to wear that on the show?
No.
Yeah, I'm not on board with that one, Rico.
You don't
I want
like
to say
look?
No.
I kind of
no.
like it.
You feel
do
free,
I like
don't
that,
you?
Do I like that look for walking on the beach? Yeah. You know, that's fine. But being on the show?
I could dress it up.
Probably not.
I could dress it up nice. I mean,
would you go put a Cuban link chain on? Is that how you're going to dress it up?
Yeah, some jewelry. A nice
Jesus
hat.
Piece?
Yeah, something like that. A little pendant. Call up Bart, see if I can get one of those crazy cool medallions. I could rock a medallion.
Medallion.
Wow.
Just the word medallion is entertaining. Wow. Let's go to Anthony in Freehold. Anthony, you're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Anthony.
Just a quick question for you guys. I just want your opinion on, I know you guys are talking about the Cowboys and the NFC East. With their defense getting, I mean, they couldn't get worse than last year. But with their defense getting, you know, slightly better, do you guys think that they have a chance to make it to the NFC Championship game and hopefully make it to the Super Bowl this year?
No.
Are we going to do this again?
No.
Really?
No. No.
We're going to revisit this?
No. The Dallas Cowboys are not going to the Super Bowl this year. It's not going to happen. That is not happening. Now, do I think they'll win the division and go to the playoffs? Yeah, I do. Is that defense going to be that much better? From a personnel standpoint, no, but I think their defense will be better by virtue of their offense being whole and Dak Prescott playing all 16 games. But, I mean, yeah, the Dallas Cowboys are not on the same level as the Green Bay Packers or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or the Los Angeles Rams. They're just not in that territory.
Yeah, plus it's not, I mean, it's not the loaded AFC. It is the
well,
NFC.
You know, you can make fun of it all you want. I think it pains you. I think when you put your head on the pillow at night, you're like, I can't believe he was so right with the loaded AFC. I'm serious. Because
it was
why
such
else would
a shot
you
in the dark. Continue to mean it.
It was brilliant.
Yeah, I don't know how he knew that one, Rico. I don't know.
And
how
look
he
at
knew
it now.
One.
It's even scarier now.
Would they have 8 double-digit win teams last year?
Yeah, it was fully loaded. It was fully loaded.
It couldn't have been better than it was last year.
And yet an NFC team won the Super Bowl.
Fair point.
Did.
But That's not what I said. I didn't say the NFC couldn't win the Super Bowl. I said the AFC is loaded.
I'm willing to admit you were right. Now, did you fall into that beautiful take by accident?
Absolutely. Yes, he fell into that one. There was no
so
way.
Even my genius takes, and it was a genius take, I can't get full credit. It was just fortunate that you said it and you were right.
No, I think you want extra credit. Chris and I will give you credit.
I didn't bring it up.
Extra credit.
I didn't bring anything up.
So Dave, I need you to have an honest moment with us on the air right now. Honest moment. At the time when you made that statement, did you misspeak or did you expect that the AFC was going to be markedly better than it was the year prior?
I don't think I thought it would be this good, but I did not misspeak.
Come on, man.
I did. What? I don't understand.
Come on, man. Just admit it. Admit that you fell into it.
It was a brilliant take.
No,
I have
brilliant
takes.
Come on, man. Not saying
maybe
that you
all
don't.
Of them don't hit, but that was a brilliant take, and for some reason, it haunts Rick. For some reason, that take. See, I would think if someone on your show has a brilliant take, that you would take it as, you know what, a badge of honor. Someone on the show had a great take, and you know what, looks good for us. But not you, DiPietro. If you had that take, it would never go a show without being mentioned. Then you have like Al Michaels, Chris Collinsworth, Sunday Night Football. You know, the AFC is loaded. Monday Night Football, AFC is absolutely loaded. Give me the credit that I'm deserving.
I think we're trying to give you credit. I think you want extra credit.
I didn't bring it up.
It was an accident.
You brought it up to make fun of me for some reason. There's no making fun. It was a great take.
But don't you realize the genius in this? Is because now all of a sudden, like, how else could I bring it up that you had a great take? Like, again, we're bringing it back. And this was months ago that you had this take. Months and months ago. And now we can go back to it and realize what a great take it was. But back to our earlier conversation before we went to break with the whole Eagles and Washington football team.
Yes.
It still doesn't make any sense to me, though. With the Eagles especially, they were a dumpster fire last year. Now, all of a sudden, not only do you have an unproven quarterback, you got an unproven coach.
Totally.
Dallas's coach was still not sold on, right? Like, we don't know if Mike McCarthy's going to be a good coach.
No, but Dallas's quarterback you're sold on. I think that's what differentiates them at the moment.
Yeah.
They're going to score a ton of points, but their defense was horrendous. Right? Their defense was awful.
Yeah, but their defense has never been like a world beater since Dak Prescott has gotten there. It's always been their offense protecting their defense.
And Ryan Fitzpatrick, when he's a legitimate, like when it's his team, is not when he's at his best.
Yeah.
No. You know what? We're down 21-7, third quarter. Let's bring him in. He leads you on a comeback, plays the next 2 weeks. He's great. And then you've seen the best of Ryan Fitzpatrick. That's what he is.
Yeah, less is more when it comes to Ryan Fitzpatrick.
But again, they got a great defense and they got a really good head coach. I don't know. Just the Giants feel like that team to me that we always talk about how important the coaches are. I mean, we've seen it with the Knicks right now. Like what Thibs is getting out of this team right now that's not very talented.
Thibs.
That's what Thibs, whatever. I'm going to go with whatever. It's Thibodeau. Okay, Thibs. But, I mean, that's a sign of a great coach.
Mm.
Right? You get more out of your players than people expect. I feel like that's what this Giants coaching staff did last year, especially with that defense. I don't know. I have a hard time believing that as smart as Vegas is, you could have the Giants as the worst team in the NFC East right now.
But let me ask you this question, Rico, because I feel like that cuts both ways. Like, you're saying that the Giants got a lot out of their guys last year. So, I mean, how good is this Giants team then from a talent standpoint in comparison to the rest of the teams in the division?
I think the gap is closing.
Well, no, I mean, we're sitting here saying, here's what I would say to that question. Will the defense be
Hell
better?
No.
No, I don't think the defense will be better. I mean, could it be, you know, hopefully, fingers crossed, it can be as good as it
On
was
par?
Last year?
Yeah.
But, I mean, you just said it. I mean, Dallas's defense doesn't have to be great, but it can't be horrendous like it was last year.
Yeah.
The Giants' offense has to be better than it was last year. Has to be. Giants' offense was putrid last year.
It was bad. Awful.
It was really bad. But, Rico, I mean, a big part of that improvement is going to have to be the quarterback. And we just don't know how good Daniel Jones is going to be. Like, it's great that he's able to use his legs in zone read, but at some point you're going to have to be able to drop back and throw the ball and be able to win games that way. Can he be that quarterback? I don't know.
But we're going to find out, because the last thing you want to do is have any excuse as to why he...
Well, he doesn't have that excuse now, though.
It's out
the window.
He doesn't have that.
I got to tell you, though, if I'm someone who's involved in gambling and looking for a good underdog, you're telling me the Giants are not attractive? Because what happens if Daniel Jones is good? We all sit here, what happens if he's not? What happens if he is? What happens if we go through this season at the end of the year, like, boy, he surpassed anything I thought was possible? Because I do believe that is a possibility, that he's really good this coming season.
Well, if he's good, you're talking about the Giants being a playoff team.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, whether they win the division or a wild card, they're going to be in the second season if he's good. I mean, all the pieces are there. They're all in place. I mean, this defense was, you know, right there as a top 10 unit. So, I mean, I just feel like if your offense can complement that, if they can put, you know, 24 points on the board, you're probably talking about this team, you know, winning 9 or 10 games. That's what the Giants can be. But a lot of that is going to hinge on how good DJ is going to be.
It's amazing to me, too. I mean, in all honesty, I hate to even say this because you know I'm a Jets fan, but I mean, the Giants should have won the division last year. I mean, that Ingram drop against Philly, if Daniel Jones doesn't get hurt, I mean, they probably win the division. But, I mean, the other thing, too, is, and I get it, I mean, everything, especially now with how quarterbacks get paid and everything else, how important that rookie deal is for the quarterback.
Mm.
But, I mean, I don't want to make it, again, it's going to like sound like me making excuses, but, I mean, for Daniel Jones to lose Saquon Barkley, offensive line was bad. I mean, it was. Andrew Thomas was not good. Early on the season, the offensive line was terrible.
Correct.
With no offseason, no preseason games, going into your second year with a brand new offense, with a new offensive coordinator, I mean, that ain't easy, man.
No. So maybe if he takes the big step here, because, I mean, just think of what they've had. The offensive line, you would agree, has to be better, right?
Yes.
It's okay. So if the offensive line is better, we all agree, whether it was the right move to take him 2 overall or not, Saquon Barkley is a terrific running back,
mm-hmm.
and is a game-breaking running back, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
Now you add Kenny Golladay into the mix. So all of a sudden, Slayton becomes your second best receiver. And Ingram is a piece that you're not as reliant on every single game. And Barkley is back. And assuming that Thomas
Sterling
takes that next step. And Sterling Shepard. And look, you took a flyer on John Ross. We'll see if he turns into anything. But I just think talent-wise right now, their offense is way more talented than it was last year.
Yeah, especially if it stays healthy. I mean, that's the biggest thing for them, too. I mean, Sterling Shepard missed time last year, too.
Yeah, well,
on paper. Yeah, but listen, on paper, I mean, their offense, yeah, he's always hurt, but you feel it, especially when you don't have any, like, you're relying on him to be the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And now you don't have to rely on him to be the guy. Like, everyone should slot into where they should be, as opposed to playing in a role that they're uncomfortable playing in.
Yeah, and you're not talking about your quarterback having to elevate the play of everybody around him. All he has to do is use the weapons that he's being given. And so, yeah, I think it all sets up well for him. I mean, he's just got to go out there and do it now. This offseason should be a lot better for him because, you know, you're not talking about having to learn a brand new system. You're not talking about having to, you know, figure out what the season is going to look like, you know, with, you know, COVID protocols and all that other stuff just because you've already gone through it. So I feel like there are a lot of things that are going in Daniel Jones' favor. But at the end of it, he's still going to have to go out there and produce.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure on him. And I'll tell you what, another thing before we get to Kenny Canty, they'll be better than they are now. Like, they're going to add more pieces via the draft,
yeah.
Offensive lineman or another receiver, whatever the case may be. Can you imagine if they had Jaylen Waddle or Kyle Pitts? I mean, it'd be immensely talented.
I feel like that'd be overkill. I mean, how many receivers do you need?
Well, you know what? Let's find out. Whatever it is, they're in a good position.
I'm sitting here looking at their schedule. Away schedule is a little bit rough.
So we think, right?
Well, no, I'm pretty sure Kansas City's going to be good.
Yes.
I'm positive that Tampa's going to be good.
Yeah.
You play the Chargers on the road.
They're going to be good.
You play the Saints on the road.
They're always good.
Yeah, with fans, that's daunting.
They're always good,
and then
yeah.
you got the Bears on the road. That's Andy Dalton, but still. I mean, places where you, like, if you're playing New Orleans at home without Drew Brees, like, okay, you have a, that's
yeah, in New Orleans with fans is daunting. I agree.
It's tough. Or yeah. Soldier Field, like, you know, no one's afraid of Andy Dalton, but all of a sudden playing in Soldier Field is a little bit different than playing the Bears at home.
Yeah. Yeah, I
but
agree.
Hey, I mean, listen, they should be, the offense especially, should be a lot better than we saw last
year. It has to be a lot better. All right, let's go there. It's a Monday staple. It's Kenny Canty.
It's everyone's favorite. Can he or can't he?
Thank you, Captain Obvious.
Ah, yes, and a pleasant Monday morning to all of you.
Good morning, RJ.
One and all, 3 locations, 3 friends, and I say good morning to all of you. So I don't know if you saw it yesterday. We haven't touched on it. Blake Griffin dunked yesterday. Blake Griffin is a net. He played yesterday. He played 15 minutes. He had 2 points. The aforementioned dunk, the first time in 2 years. Here's what he had to say.
So great. I knew, you know, when it happened, it's going to be a thing. And so I tried not to look at the bench when I was coming back down, but then I kind of peeked over and I saw DeAndre all the way out on the side, and I saw but it's standing up. So, you know, it's hard not to smile in that situation. It's so good to just get that out of the way.
All right. So he can dunk. We've seen him. He's in a Nets uniform. Can we count on Blake Griffin to be any kind of difference maker down the stretch?
RJ, I'm going to say we can't, and it's not that Blake Griffin doesn't have the ability or the potential. I just don't think that the Nets are going to be relying on him. I mean, they've got Kyrie, they've got James Harden. At some point, they're going to get KD back. They're not going to be leaning on Blake Griffin to be the difference maker with this team and whether or not they compete for a championship. I mean, you know, what is he going to play, 25 minutes a game? I mean, he's going to be a small ball center, or, you know, being able to take some power forward minutes, whatever. But, I mean, he's not the guy that they're just going to say our championship hopes hinge on Blake Griffin being, you know, an all-star caliber guy. So I'm going to say we can't say that.
What's the question again, please?
Here we go.
Can we count on Blake Griffin to be a difference maker?
Count on it? No, I say we can't count on it. I think it's a possibility, but I'm not counting on Blake Griffin anything, no.
No, I agree. It's unanimous. But did you see, by the way, Canty, I know you saw that. I know both of you saw this. Did you see the Kyrie fadeaway left hand bucket?
Yes. He's ridiculous.
He does things that other people can't do.
He's one of the most talented basketball players I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah. Yeah, he's special. He's special.
All right. Kenny Golladay, you guys touched on it. Now a Giant. Ton of money. 4 year. Worth up to $76 million before all is said and done, possibly. $40 million guaranteed. Can we say, and you guys touched on this, but just asking outright, if Daniel Jones doesn't look a whole lot better in 2021, the Giants, 1 year from now, are where the Jets are right now with Sam Darnold?
I'm going to say we can't, just because if Daniel Jones turns out not to be the guy, I think the Giants would be worse off than the Jets because they won't have as many pathways to be able to add a quarterback. With this offseason and all the quarterback trades that we've already had, and with the Jets having the second overall draft pick in a draft class where you're talking about as many as 5 quarterbacks going in the top half of the first round, I mean, the Jets have an opportunity, if they don't like Sam Darnold, to add a quarterback that could be his successor. I don't know that the Giants would be in that position if Daniel Jones turns out not to be the guy. So I'm going to say we can't say that about the Giants.
I'd like a repeat question, please.
This is like lifeline. You only get so many of these.
I'm sorry. I didn't know that coming in, and I'm getting confused now. There's a lot of Jets talk, and I forget the question to the Giants. So what was the question?
If Daniel Jones does not play better in 2021, can we say that the Giants will be in the same place as the Jets are right now with Sam Darnold 1 year from now?
Yeah, we sure can. He better be, and we can say it. Absolutely.
I think we can as well. I mean, here's the thing, though. Let me ask you guys a question quickly before we get to the next one. If Daniel Jones has a bad season and looks bad, do you think will that mean that Gettleman probably gets fired or no?
Yes.
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 Okay, so I think we were right there this offseason. If Daniel Jones, you know he's not the answer after this coming year, I think Gettleman can leave with him.
All right, Dave, let's pay attention here. Speaking of the Jets, Sheldon Rankins, now Jet. Joe Douglas, I'd say, it's had a smooth, if not spectacular, offseason. But in terms of stacking up against the rest of the AFC East, can we call the Jets anything other than the team we still project in last?
No, we can't. They're going to finish last this year, and that's okay. I mean, year one with Rob Saleh, you know, the initial stages of program building and potentially having to break in a new quarterback. Yeah, I don't see the Jets being any better than fourth place in this division. It's just with what the teams in this division are doing, the Patriots improving, what they did in free agency, the Miami Dolphins, double-digit win team from a year ago, and then the Bills going to the AFC Championship game. Yeah, the Jets are no better than fourth.
I completely concur. We can't say they're any better than fourth. They'll be better than they were. They have to be. You can tell me they're going to be better than Miami, Buffalo, or New England. Can't say it. Won't say it.
Yeah, I have a hard time believing that. I mean, unless Tua just is not good, I would have a hard time because the Patriots would be better. I mean, Miami should have made the playoffs, and the Buffalo won the division. So, no, I agree.
Let's hope Joe Douglas isn't talking about his team being disrespected preseason.
All right, and Dave, if you don't mind, I'm going to make this our Hoops Update brought to you by Typical Sportsbook.
Even though I've done it already, you can do it again, sure.
We're going to do it twice.
Yeah, I love it. I'm sure Tipico is thrilled to get the double exposure.
This is a finely tuned machine today.
Yeah, we are.
All right, in the first round of the men's tournament, every single seed aside from the 16 won a game. A ton of upsets, but, and I get ripped for this sometimes. Can we say that we actually enjoy the long-term impact of upsets in the tournament?
Yeah, I'm going to say we can, RJ. I mean, I think this is unique to college basketball in that we like the theater and the seed of underdog actually have a chance to compete for a championship. So, yeah, I think we like this in college basketball. Like, if it was the NBA and we're talking about the stars not being able to play in the conference finals or the NBA finals, that's one thing. But college basketball is a completely different animal, and the upsets are a part of the theater. So, yeah, I enjoy it long term. I'm going to say we can.
Before I answer this, can I tell you that this is brought to you by Tipico Sportsbook?
That's a good call by you.
Make this very, very
interesting. That's a good call by you.
Because I don't know if anybody heard the first two times it was given the credit it deserved. I don't agree with you on this. I greatly enjoy the upset. I'm going to enjoy watching Loyola. I don't like Syracuse, but the fact that they had a couple upsets is exciting as well. So I'm saying we can enjoy this in the tournament.
Yeah, but I think you misinterpreted RJ's question. I don't think he means, like, you and Chris, as far as, like, people that are dialed into the tournament. I think just in general, like, for the people that are, you know, kind of, they get into the tournament when it starts because they have their brackets and everything else. That's not great for the tournament.
Yeah, it's probably not great for those, like, you know, periphery fans who are interested, but then they lose sight of the fact that Illinois is gone and all these other teams are gone. But there's enough big teams still involved that I think your interest is still peaked.
Yeah, I personally like the upsets, but I think the majority of people that once their brackets get, but your first weekend your bracket gets busted. I mean, I don't know how dialed in they are for the rest of the tournament.
You could be right. RJ, is that it with Kenny Canty?
Well, I was just going to reference this one more time.
Okay. All right, quick break. Jay Williams on the other side.
So, I just want to say that I'm concerned about you. You've slept like 8 hours the last four nights combined. I you have another 12-hour shift of basketball. You're talking about basketball like it's work. You're looking forward to a day off tomorrow. I'm just worried about you, and I hope you get a nap at some point.
I'm going to nap right after the show, and at 12:15, I'll be right back at college basketball for the next 12 hours after that. By the way, all that college basketball hoops brought to you by Tipico Sportsbook. Let's make this very, very interesting.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.